We're continuing in the parables of Jesus, so I invite you to turn to Mark, the 4th chapter, verses 26 and following. And Jesus also said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground, and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself, first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle, because the harvest has come." May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. Well, this morning I want to continue with the series on the parables of Jesus, and this morning, the seed growing secretly. This is the last in the series on the parables of Jesus until we do some more next year. Next week, we'll start a series on Joseph and following our dreams. So I invite you to be here for that. It's a great story with some great truths. But this morning, I want to think about this parable of Jesus, the seed growing secretly. And first, I want to get started with something a little humorous. I hear about this man and woman who'd been married for over 60 years, and they shared everything. They talked about everything. They didn't keep any secrets except for one, and that was this, that the woman had a shoebox that she kept in the shelf of this closet, and she didn't allow her husband to look in there for anything. And so they had celebrated their 60th anniversary, and she went to the doctor and found out that she had something that she wasn't going to recover from, and the doctor told her that she needed to go home and get all of her affairs in order. And so as she was in bed and everything seemed to be in order, the husband came to his wife and said, "You know, we've been married for over 60 years and we've never had any secrets from each other except that you've got this one shoebox in the closet on the shelf, and I've never known what's in there. Don't you think it's time that you told me?" And she said, "Well, I guess it is time to tell you." And so he went and got this shoebox. He brought it to her bedside, and he opened up in front of her, and there were two crocheted dolls and a stack of money totaling $95,000. And he said, "Well, I just don't understand." And so she said, "Well, when we were getting married, my grandmother had some advice for me. And she said, you know, whenever you get angry at your husband, just keep it to yourself and crochet a doll." And so that's what I did. I crocheted a doll, and the husband was so moved that after over 60 years of marriage, that she had only been angry with him twice. There were only two crocheted dolls, and tears were in his eyes. And he said, "Well, that explains the dolls, but I don't understand the $95,000. And she said, "Well, that's the money I got from selling the dolls." I know the women probably like that a little better than the men, but in any case, well, there's some secrets to life and some secrets we sometimes keep in life. And I think these parables of Jesus sort of have a seed of truth that's planted in our lives that has some powerful truths that can grow in our lives. And so I really want to think about this parable this morning, the parable of the seed growing secretly, because I think there's some truths that we don't always understand at first about the parable. And first I want to set up the context so you have the idea of the context of that parable, which I think is very important in Mark. And so the first thing is that it comes after the parable of the sower and the soils in Mark. And so if you recall the parable of the sower and the soils, Jesus tells this story about this farmer that goes out and he does this broadcast seeding, and he takes a basket, and that's the way they did farming in that day. They put seed and he kind of walks along a path and then sends the seed out in every direction. And Jesus said as he does that, some of the seed falls on the pathway and immediately the birds swoop down and they eat the seed and they're gone. And then he said, then some of the seed falls on the rocky soil, and there's a little bit of soil, but the seed doesn't have any roots, and so as soon as the heat comes up, the wither, and then the other seed falls on thorny ground, and there the seed begins to grow, but then all of a sudden the thorns choke it out, and then finally there's seed that falls on good soil, which is good growth. And so he says that and the pathway is like the one where the word of God is planted, and then the cares of the world swoop down and temptations swoop down, and then that on the rocky soil is like those who don't have deep roots in life and they don't last the difficulties, and then those where the thorns start to grow, then the temptations of the world sort of choke out the life in that seed, and then the good seed and the good soil combine to make something that grows and is 10 times and 100 times of growth, and so there's tremendous growth. And so Jesus is telling us about the importance of the word and the importance of making our hearts sort of the soil of our lives ready for the seed of God's word to grow and produce faith. And then Jesus tells this story about the light and the lamp, and you may recall Jesus' story about that, and Jesus says this, is a lamp brought to be put under a bushel basket or under the bed, not on the lampstand. For there is nothing hidden except to be disclosed, nor is anything secret except to come to light. Let anyone with ears to hear listen. And Jesus said to them, pay attention to what you hear. The measure you give will be measure you get, and still more will be given to you. And so Jesus is talking about the importance of the church as individuals to be a to light in the world and to share God's word in situations that need that. And it's within this context that Jesus moves directly into this parable of the seed growing secretly. And as you think about that, realize the importance of the seed. And listen again to Jesus' words. He says, the kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself, first the stalk, then the head, and then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle because the harvest has come. I think the first thing to think about is that there's an importance in planting the seed. And it's true that we don't always understand. I mean, even today, I mean, I know we got some great agricultural teachers in here and great farmers who know a lot today. And we know a lot of the, even the genetic structure of seeds today. And we know a lot about soils. And we know we have GPS and we use that sometimes. And then we use kind of satellite mapping with infrared technology. But the truth is, there's some things about that we just don't really understand. And the fact is, it's a miracle. But not understanding doesn't keep a farmer from sowing the seed. And that reminds us that it's important to sow the seed in life of God's word. And that sometimes in life, we have a lot of opportunity to sow the seed of God's word. And today is Bible Sunday. And I see those young people up here today. And I know as Sunday school teachers sometimes, I don't know how many people have been out there, but as Sunday school teachers, sometimes you're working hard to share the lesson. And it seems like there's a lot of distractions, a lot of things going on. And you wonder, gee, is that seed being planted? And as parents sometimes, maybe we're sharing a lesson in life, a lesson in faith with our young people, and you think they're distracted and it's not really taking root, and we're not sure about that. And then maybe as a friend, you just share with a friend or colleague maybe a seed of God's word in life and a seed of hope, and then you don't know what happens. And life kind of goes on. And I think Jesus is saying, you know, the fact of the matter is that sowing that seed is important. It's one of the few things that we can control. And so Jesus is probably saying, you know, being a Sunday school teacher is really important, even if you don't understand it, because you're planting seed of God's word. And being a friend that encourages someone and plants that seed of hope is important because it's encouraging someone down the road. And as a church, what we do with young people and people of all ages and in our adult classes is important because we're planting a seed of faith that is important in all of life. Because deep down, the fact of the matter is, it's growing. And one of the things about soil, the truth is, down deep in the soil, it's growing. And one of the truths about not being able to see seed as it's planting is that, like our life of faith, we need to learn to trust God in the dark. Trusting God in the dark is one of the most important parts of our life. You think about the seed and it's under the surface, you can't see that. And so the farmer trusts that there's a secret power in the seed that's going to happen. And even though he can't see that and the seed is down under the ground, that we know there's an important chapter that's taking place. The seed is beginning to take root. Roots are beginning to grow. And so also in our lives of faith, sometimes when a dark chapter happens in our life and we can't really see what's happened to our young people, know that the root of the seed that you planted is growing, even though you can't see it. And sometimes in our life, God takes us through a dark and difficult chapter of life. And the truth is that maybe that dark and difficult chapter is the most important chapter of our life. And we don't understand what's going on. It seems like we're in the dark, but God is guiding us through the darkness and difficulties and challenges of life, and we're growing roots that are important in life. And so I think Jesus would say it's important to plant the seed. And Jesus would also say, you know, it's important to trust God in the darkest chapters of life because God works in the darkness. And then I think there's another truth there, which is there's a sense of urgency to the harvest. Notice what something else here in this moment is that he says this. The kingdom of God is if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself, first the stalk, and then the head, then the full grain in the head. But the grain is ripe. At once he goes in with his sickle because the harvest has come. Now notice that the farmer, once the seed is planted, goes about his business. Now I know if you're like me sometimes, in the springtime, you're out there watching the farmers and they're in a combine and they're planting the seed, and you think, you know, gosh, when it's done. Now they must take you know, 2 or 3 or 4 months off, right? They get nothing to do for 2 or 3 or 4 months. I mean, maybe they're going to fertilize a little bit, going to cut up the roots or whatever. I know our farmers are here. And if you would ask their spouses, do they just sit around and worry about it, or do they actually go out and do something else? They tell you that they're at work. Gary said a big amen to that this morning. And truth is, you know, farmers can't control a lot of things in life. I mean, there's some things you can put on fertilizer and all kinds of things, but you really can't control the rain. You can't control the windstorms, and you can't necessarily control the sunshine. So there's a lot of things that we can control, but a farmer doesn't just sort of sit there and worry about it. They may worry about it, but they've got things to do. They've got to go out and repair the machinery. They've got to go out and they've got to, you know, prepare the truck and the grain bin. They've got to make sure the tractor and the combine are working. And so all that time, while the seed is growing, there's things that they have to do. They're about the business of farming in such a way that they believe and they trust in the process, and they go about their work. And so I think also you and I in life, when we plant the seed, there's things to worry about, but we need to go about life. Life goes on, and so we need to be in the rhythm for that. But then it says this, as soon as the grain is ripe, immediately the farmer goes and brings the sickle and harvests the grain. And that's true, isn't it? I mean, think about our farmers. There may be even some this morning that are absent, that are out there doing that. Yesterday, Savannah and I were in Chicago. We have to celebrate my birthday up there. And I didn't go to the Cubs game or anything like that. But it was just fun to be up there. And as we drove back, it's getting dark kind of early. And we always come off 65. We come down 421 there. And as I come down those fields, I mean, I bet every field had a combine out there with the lights on. They were out late at night harvesting because now's the time, and that's the way farmers are. I mean, no matter what else is going on, when it's time to harvest, they go and they harvest. I think Jesus is saying there that, you know, we need to have a sense of urgency when the moments are right to sort of harvest the moment of faith. And we plant the seed, and we got to trust God, and we got to do our best, and trust God to do the rest. And we go about our life, but then there was a moment of urgency where, and that moment comes, and we can't always predict that. Maybe that's someone that's going through an adversity or challenge, and they want us to have a moment of prayer with them, and that's the moment that really brings things to fruition to them for having a relationship with Christ, or, you know, really having a faith that's secure and sound. Or maybe it's sometimes a young person comes to us. Maybe it's our son or daughter or someone else's son or daughter, and they have something to share, and they're going through a struggle, and that's a moment to pray or just talk to them. And we have to realize that's a moment that takes precedence. And it's great that we took time out this morning to have a prayer with our young people and give them a Bible. And there's other moments, too, that we need to just say, this is a sense of urgency. Everything else has to stop because this is important in our life. And I think that's true as individuals. And it's true as a family of faith. That has to be one of the priorities of our life, is planting the seed in our young people. And then when there's a moment of harvest there, maybe it's a retreat, or maybe it's beside them in a bed where they're sick, or maybe it's just questions they have. Maybe it's when they come home from college and things aren't right, or maybe it's even later in life. But the moment comes, and we just have to drop whatever we're doing and say, that's a priority in life. That's something that God has blessed me with, because you never know that that's not the last moment for someone, or that moment won't come around again for them. And I think as parents and as Sunday school teachers and as adult ed teachers and just friends and family, we need to be able to reach out to people and realize that it's a special gift when there's a time of harvest in God's sort of timetable. Proverbs 30, verse 5 says this about the word. It says, every word of God proves true, and that word proves true is really means to be refined. In other words, God's word has seen itself through the fires of hundreds of years, and has only purified and strengthened it. So it's proven true. And it goes on to say this, he is a shield to those who take refuge in him. God's word is strong, and faith in God is strong. And you think sometimes about people in the Bible, and God often used young people who were just even young in the faith. And you think for a moment, I remember the story of Hannah and Samuel. And Hannah was this woman in the Bible, and she had wanted to have a child for a long, long time. And God had not blessed her with a child. And one day she went to the temple in Shiloh, which was a special place in the life of Israel. And she began to pray. And in fact, she began to cry and sort of pour her heart out to God. And as she did that, the prophet Eli saw her. And he went up to her and asked her what was wrong. And she shared her heart and said that she'd wanted to have a child and couldn't have a child. And she was just pleading and praying to God. And Eli, the prophet, said, "This time next year, God will answer your prayer." And she said, "If he does, then I'm going to name my son Samuel, and he will be a gift to God and serve God. He'll be a Nazarite and take the Nazarite vows." And Eli said, "So be it." And so a year later, she had this baby, Samuel, which means called of God. And even as a young person, she had dedicated him to God. And then when he was quite young, she brought him to the temple to be brought up in the temple. And as he was nurtured in the temple one night, while he was still quite young, you know, probably maybe even his young teens, he heard a voice crying out his name, Samuel, in the night, and he thought it was Eli, the prophet. And so he went to Eli, woke him up, and said, "What do you want, master?" Eli said, I didn't call you. Go back to bed." And so Samuel didn't know what to do, went back to bed. And again, he was awoken by his name being spoken out loud. And he went to the prophet Eli again and said, "What do you want, master?" And he said, "Well, go to bed." And then all of a sudden he realized that it was probably God speaking to him. He said, "Do this. When you go back to bed, if you hear your name spoken again, then just say, 'Yes, Lord, here I am,' and do as the voice commands." And so Samuel went back to bed, even this young boy, and heard the voice again saying his name, Samuel. And he said, "Yes, Lord, here I am." And God called him to be one of the great prophets in Israel. In fact, Samuel was the one who anointed David as a young boy, the person who would be king of Israel. And so God uses young people. And I think of Esther, who was a young girl and lost both parents, and yet God called her to be a queen that would be the one who would intervene so that the nation of Israel would be spared from someone who wanted to destroy them. And you think of the three Hebrew young men and how God had them stand up before a wicked king in Babylon. And because they were even not afraid of the fiery furnace, they were able to have their faith be a symbol of strength for Israel and all of us today. So with that in mind, I think about the scripture that Emily read earlier. And Paul is in the closing chapter of life, and he pours out his life to his protege, Timothy, his son in the faith, as he called him. And he reminds Timothy of all that Paul has been through, that seen him through the fires. And Paul says this, "Now you've observed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and suffering, the things that happened to me in Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, what persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from them all." And then Paul doesn't do that to be about Paul, but Paul reminds him how God has seen him through all the storms of life. And then Paul reminds Timothy that the seed of faith was planted in him even as a young boy by his grandmother and his mother, Eunice and Lois. And Paul goes on to sort of commission him, and he says this, "But as for you, continue in what you've learned and firmly believe, knowing from whom you've learned it, and how from childhood you have known the sacred writings that are able to instruct you for salvation and faith in Jesus Christ." He goes on, all scripture is inspired by God. That means God breathed. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and training in righteousness. And that word training is the Greek word paedia, which is a word that we get pediatrics from. So it's something that we can trust as bringing young people up. And he goes on to say, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work. Paul is sometimes lengthy, but always profound. And Peter, the great apostle, puts it simply and succinctly. He says this, God has given us his very great and precious promises. You know, those people had God's word see them through all of life, the difficulties, the challenges, the adversity, as Paul had seen all those things. And they trusted that seed of faith to young people in the faith, knowing that God would nurture that seed. And even in the dark chapters of life, that seed would be growing. And all we can do sometimes is just do our best and trust God to do the rest, but have faith that God is working. And then when there's that moment that we have to make a difference in someone's life, like that farmer who sees the grain come ripe and knows that it's time to harvest, that have that sense of urgency that God is working, we can be part of that picture and part of that plan as individuals and also as a family of faith. And so I challenge us to do exactly that. Will you join me in prayer? Gracious God, we come to you today, and sometimes we get caught up with all the cares of the world and the busyness of life, and we forget just how important it is to be people of faith that plant seeds of faith in people's lives, both as individuals and as parents and Sunday school teachers and youth leaders and as a family of faith. And so this morning, remind us of the importance of the seed of faith that we are privileged to help plant in people's lives. We also remember that we ourselves have been through some storms in life, and sometimes in the darkest chapters of life, you're at work in our lives. And so we lift up those going through difficulty today and adversity, those who are facing the dark chapters of life, and we pray, Lord, that the seed of faith is growing. It's growing deep roots, and it's going upward to reach up to the sky and your spirit and the sunshine of your love. We pray if we're going through those dark chapters right now that you'll strengthen us. Help us to know that our roots are growing. You're making us stronger, that one day we could bear fruit. We pray through all of life that you'd help us to be strengthened by your love and nourished and watered by your spirit, that we can go strong. And then, Lord, when the moment comes when a life needs to make a decision or a deep moment of faith, help us to take time from the busyness of life and to realize that that's a gift from you that we can be part of. Be willing to have a prayer or a word with someone, to ask them to find you as the way of faith in all of life. And so this morning we thank you for your forgiveness and your love and your mercy, the power of your word and the power of a seed of faith growing to bear many seeds. And we thank you and ask for your leading and guiding through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.